Don't you just love our song service, the beautiful music that's picked out of the singers as they sing it? I think one of these days, when I'm standing up there behind the great white throne of God and the choir begins to sing, I'll have a good voice. So if you want to hear that, you're going to have to come along with me, all right? You know, it's good to see all you guys, and you don't know what a privilege it's been for me to be able to come and share with you. I've told my son the other day, it's been so long since I've done a lot of preaching, I about forgot how, and he said, I didn't know you ever knew how. So that's an encouragement I get from my kids, you see. See what I'm talking about? That's not true. I'm just making that up. But you know, our God is so awesome, and there's just so much that we could do to honor His name. I think in our country we're pretty lazy in our walk with God. And there's so much more that we could do. There's a lot more that I could do. I mean, I feel like I read the scriptures quite a bit, but I could read more. And there's people out there in the world that I could probably help a lot more than I do. I enjoy doing that. I enjoy going out and catching someone unaware and talking to them about the Lord, you know. And the thing that I've always tried to explain to people out there in the world, that our relationship with God is the most important thing we'll ever have. It's the only thing that the devil can't take away from us. We'll take it right on to glory with us. But I'll tell you what, he'll take your millions. He'll take your new car, your new tractor. He'll take your cattle. He'll take your pride. He'll take everything else you got, but he can't take God out of your life. Hallelujah. Huh? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I enjoy that so much. In my devotional readings, I'm in the book of Leviticus, and I've got a portion of Leviticus to read to you. Now, I understand that this is given actually to the Jews, to the Israelites, and when God was speaking to them, making this covenant, it was with them, and literally with them. But in principle, there's stuff in there that I think that we can grab hold of and hang on to for our own lives and for our own hope. And it's in the 26th chapter of Leviticus. Anybody know where Leviticus is in the Bible? Yeah, I always had to look up front where the pages are and where they're listed, you know, to find them. But it begins at 26. It says, "Do not make idols or set up an image or a sacred stone for yourselves, and do not place a carved stone in your land to bow down before it. I am your Lord. Observe my Sabbath and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield crops and trees their fruit. Your threshing floor will continue until grape harvest, and your grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food that you want." Wow! I like that part. "And live in safety in your land. I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove wild beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemy, and they will fall by the sword before you. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemy will fall by the sword before you. I will look on you with favor, and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and will keep my covenant with you." And that's the verse I really want you to look at. God's promise to them, I think, is a promise to us. "I will look on you with favor, and I will make you fruitful and increase in number. I will keep my covenant with you." You know, that's what we're looking for, isn't it? We're looking for God to bless us in ways that are unimaginable for us, that we We don't really expect it all. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. Holy Spirit, come in this place. Holy Spirit, welcome in this. Why don't we stand as we sing this? Receive the grace. Now welcome in this place. Lift up those hands. Holy Spirit, welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father, mercy and grace, welcome in this place. Amen, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you. I just feel like sometimes that I really just can't thank and praise the Lord enough. You know what I mean? That I want to do more. I want to praise Him more. I want to be involved in His work more. And I think that He would be pleased with that. And I think that that would be the same with you. It would be nice if we could be the pioneers of a whole new work in this church, that God could pour out His blessings. He would be our God and we would be His people. You have a lot of stuff going for you. It's fun to come to church here and to feel the Spirit that is here, to feel the welcome, the love that is here. But there's a lot that needs to be done. I'm talking about this morning preparing the seed bed for those that will be coming in looking for Jesus. And, you know, farmers, well, back when I grew up on the farm, they did a lot different. They used to work the ground till it was so fine. You know, there wasn't a thing, just nice, smooth-looking field, and then go out and plant. You'd see those planter rows go down through the field. Nowadays, they're planting weeds and everything else. You don't know what's going on. But we need to prepare, as a church, a seed bed that is fertile. Jesus said about the seeds in Matthew, he talks about those different seed beds that were prepared, and the one that was fertile produced 30, 60, 100 fold. Can you imagine what God can do? How many of you believe that God, that's nothing impossible for God? Do you believe that for you? Do you believe that for your church? You know, I mean, there's, I don't know, what is there, 40 here this morning, maybe? And, and you know, and your friendly people. If I were to have a time to make a, what do you call it, a pull for the church, folks out there in Radio Land or wherever you are, this is really a neat church, and I think if you were a part of it, it would be a blessing to you. If you're looking for some place where you can be loved, and they've got a new pastor coming who'll be able to preach the gospel, and I know you'll be pleased and we'll be happy here. But in the meantime, while you're coming, this church is going to begin to prepare for you a place. And we're going to learn it through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be man-made. It's not going to be the ideas that the world uses to draw people in. You know, we're not going to have fancy programs and all the stuff that goes with our modern age It's all going to be by the power of the Spirit of God. You know, I hear parents and kids say, well, I don't want to go to that church, they're not having any fun. Well, I don't know if you're supposed to have fun in church or not, but I tell you one thing, you can enjoy being in church. You know, there's a little church in our community close to us that it began very small, and today that thing is running 100 or 1,000 people in services, and it's just in this tiny little community out in the middle of nowhere. You know, no one thought that could ever happen to a little church in a little town. Nobody knew. In fact, the town had a reputation for being pretty wild. But here they are. They're running hundreds of people because they've been doing it God's way. I want to read a couple of other scriptures to you, at least this one. It's a familiar scripture, and you all know it. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. Not saved by works, but saved for good works. Remember in Revelation chapter 2 in the church of Ephesus, where God said, I hold this against you. You've forsaken your first love. Your first love begins when Jesus comes into your heart and you begin to do the stuff that God has prepared in advance for us. His advanced preparation for us is that we're to be soul winners, if I can use that term. We are to be the kind of church, the kind of people that are concerned for people who need the Lord. If it wasn't for my neighbors when we moved from the river farm up to Levington, Illinois, if it hadn't been for our neighbors, I probably never would have become a Christian. But there was a couple that were concerned, were interested in my spiritual well-being. And I sat out on a tailgate of that pickup truck with him and listened to him talk about things that were foreign to me, but for some reason held my attention. And that's what the church is all about. Preparing this seedbed for the lost to come in and find fertile ground to grow in. Now, God has made available to the church those necessary tools for growth. If you look in Romans chapter 12, you'll find out that there are a list of gifts that are especially for the church. And some of them are evident even now in this church. The gift of hospitality, the gift of encouragement, you know, the gift of leadership. These things need to be cultivated. We need to be in our scriptures, in our Bibles, Christians, church members, you out there in the back row. We need to be in the scriptures personally, at home, when we're alone. And we need to be going over these words. I think to begin with, I'm going to give you this assignment. I want you to go to Romans chapter 12, and I want you to study what Paul is saying there to the Roman church. Now, I don't mean now. You wait to do that when you get home. You pay attention to me now. All of a sudden, everybody goes, oh. And then these gifts of the Spirit, I mean, they weren't just put in print for us to read and say, wow, that looks pretty good. No. God is giving these things to us as instructions to use in doing the works that he made for us in advance. God knew what we were going to need in advance, And now he's prepared the tools by which we can use them to do the work successfully. If it's God, it's good. Say that with me. If it's God, it's good. And that's what we want. We want the good stuff of God. Every perfect gift of God, every gift of God is perfect and is good for us. And we want to be a part of that. And we want to learn what these gifts are, and we want to begin to, well, Paul tells us in Corinthians, you know, desire spiritual gifts. Desire them. Don't be afraid of them. Don't run away from them. But desire them. You may have a desire to be a teacher like Scott. You may want to be an encourager, you know, like Gene. Like many of you are encouragers. When people come in, you're there, you meet them at the door, you hand them a bullet, you shake their hand. And I'm telling you, then, in this seedbed that we're preparing, there's got to be such love pouring out of this church that a person can't come in here without wearing his hand out, shaking hands, or being hugged. And the men wiping the stuff off their jackets, you know, like Carol and Edmund, you got makeup on there, you know. And it will make a difference. And it's something that needs to be. You know, I think the one thing that I enjoyed about the church where I was saved, the people in there seemed like everybody. I loved this one old lady. You know Sister Graham, don't you, Carol? I loved her. She was just a little old lady, and she would say, Jesus sat right here on my shoulder, and he spoke right into this ear. You know, we need more of that. We need to hear Jesus speaking into our ear. We need to hear Jesus speaking into our spirits. You know, we need to be greasy with Jesus, just Jesus oozing out of us all over, where people will know that, hey, there's something real in this church. It's not man-made. It's coming from God. You know, I love to come into the church and feel the presence of God. You know, I love to walk in and just feel that awesome presence of the Lord. And I want that to always be a part of this congregation. I believe that there's something that God wants for us. I believe there's some reason that this is heavy on my heart for you guys all of a sudden. I don't know why. You know, I mean, a couple of months ago, I was just off down there somewhere. And here I am. Dawn keeps calling me, hey, you want to come and preach, you know? And here I am, and God has put this on my heart that here's a place out in the middle of, nobody knows where Obed's at. You know, where is Obed? I tell people, you know, you need to come out there. Where's that Obed? Obed? Never heard of Obed, you know. How do you tell people to get here? You know, well, go to Obed. But there is such a hunger in our world. I mean, you don't realize it because all that nasty stuff is going on, but that nasty stuff is because there's a spiritual hunger within the heart of man. Lost man is looking for a Savior. And I'm telling you, this church can be a church that will lead them to a Savior. One day, and I hope I'm able to see it, one day there'll be sinners up here kneeling at this altar asking for forgiveness, seeking God and His love and His forgiveness. One day I believe that God will be moving in our congregation, and there'll be people sitting in the pews, and they'll lift their hand and say, I need the Lord. You know? I've seen it. I know it can happen. I know God is at work. I know God is alive. And I know that God loves us, and I know God loves you. And I know that if we listen to God and we know God's way, we're going to be happy. It may not be fun like the kids are looking for, but it's going to be fun for us. We'll be happy. will be so full of the love of God. You know? And that's what we need. We need the love of God. The fruit of the Spirit needs to be part of our makeup. You know, that really goes without saying, doesn't it? That if Jesus is in us, if God is in us, if the Holy Spirit is living in us, how can there not be fruit? Huh? And you know, people love, I just love to walk out and pick apples off of the tree and eat them warm and all, you know. People are looking for fruit. They're looking for something that satisfies. They're looking for something for their soul, something that will fill that vacancy that is there, that is left there at the fall of man in the garden, when they lost that relationship with God, when God severed that because man would rather listen to Satan than him. That's what it was. Thou will not surely die. The old deceiver said, you won't die if you eat it. And the word is still going out in our world today. He's still telling the same old story. The devil is. Now you surely won't. There is no such place as hell. But there is. There's punishment for our sin. But there's also something better. Forgiveness for our sin. And I think the stronger the pull of God on our lives, the closer we draw to Him, the more powerful the ministry of our church will be. I'm going to put you to a test here in the next couple of weeks. Well, I've got a couple of weeks to do this yet. Then I'll be fired, right? I'm going to have some strangers come into church. I'm going to see how you treat them. Huh? Every person in this church, when some stranger comes in, ought to be around them, shaking hands with them, welcoming them into this congregation, inviting them to come and sit with them. Inviting them to a meal after church, becoming a friend. You don't know, well, you probably do, what that does to you. You know, we've walked in a lot of different churches in our years of ministry and traveling, and a lot of churches you really feel welcome. But there's some churches where you walk in and you feel like you're the only one there. you know what I'm saying to you? And if you feel like that when you come into a church, go into a church, you won't go back. You know? Not unless they put silver dollars under the seat, you know? I can remember one church did that to draw people. They draw a kid, they put a silver dollar under a certain chair, you know? And kids would come in and want that silver dollar. But that's man's idea. I'd rather for God to put a silver dollar in my heart that would draw somebody to the Lord, wouldn't you? That we would be the kind of people that God would want us to be. There was something about this thing with obedience. That there's something that really, I hope God doesn't mind me saying this, that really turns God on. When we walk in obedience, you know it? Because He says He'll do so much for us when we walk in obedience. We will be fruitful. He will add to our numbers. What was it, Scott? You were talking about sanctification. There comes a time in a Christian's life when they need to sell out to God. Completely. Just sell out to God. Us old timers, we call it entire sanctification. when you just came to the place where you want to give your whole heart to God. Nothing reserved, no little sins held back, everything to God. Everything was yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. And God loves that. And God says, when you become like that, I will be your God and you will be my people. Don't you want to be the people of God? Huh? Wouldn't you like to wake up in the morning with this in your mind? I'm a child of God. Washed by the blood, filled with His Spirit, full of His joy, full of His peace. Ready to be a witness wherever I go. Isn't that exciting? There's nothing more exciting than to be a part of a lively church. Nothing more exciting than to know when you're coming to church on Sunday, you're going to be in the presence of God. You know what? Nothing more exciting than that. I haven't been to a ball game or to any other kind of a sports activity more exciting to me than to be an exciting church, a church where they worship the living God. That turns me on. Huh? That turns me on. I want to be a part of that. Don't you? What are you going to do about it? Huh? What are you going to do about it? You know, it's up to you. It's up to your surrender to the Lord. Say, I'm going to be on your team, God. I'm going to do what you want me to do, God. I'm going to walk in obedience, Lord. I want to be your child. I want you to be my God. Are you there? Are you ready to make that commitment? You know, I was encouraged last week when so many people responded to the invitation. Not only those coming, but quite a few raised their hand for prayer for that, to commit themselves to this move of God that's going to take us forward and make a congregation of believers out here in the middle of Obed and make Obed a place where people will know exactly where it's at. That little church out in the country that's standing room only because God's presence is so real. Don't you hunger for that? Huh? Don't you hunger for that? To feel God's presence so strongly and to see people coming in and finding Jesus as Lord. I don't know of anything more satisfying than that. Well, Lord, I guess I've said about everything I can think of to say. And I'm encouraged, Lord, that people seem to be responsive to it. And I pray that there'll be a real beginning here that will begin to cultivate these gifts and this fruit of the Spirit that's going to make us the kind of congregation that God can use. And if we do it, if we're sincere and we do it, you'll find out that God will keep His word. God never lies. And God is always looking for a people to bless. And you could be that people. Couldn't you? Couldn't you? Are you ready to surrender that secret part? The fear? Are you going to take on the love of God that casts away the fear of being a part of His mighty army that goes out into a world that is hostile toward Christians and toward God? That's where He's sending us. They won't like you. They didn't like Jesus. They won't like you, He says. If you act like Jesus and you look like Jesus and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, they won't like you. But God will send you to the places you need to go. And He'll give you the words you need to say. believe it. You know, it's a neat thing to be encouraged to live a life, a God-given life, a God-breathed life, and then to follow that up with communion, taking the bread and the juice, the body and the blood of Jesus, that gives us life, because we take that in, he's coming into us in a real spiritual, real way. So this is from Paul writing to the Corinthians, and it starts out kind of hard, but I want to tell you, this communion is a very precious thing. It's a very holy time for us. And when we take communion, we want to make sure that our hearts are right with God. You know, it's not something that you use as a trivial thing, something that we just pass on apart. You've got to remember that this is a very spiritual, very special thing, that Jesus has given up his body. He allowed him to run that spear through his side, to spill his blood. And he's invited us to be a part of that, to take in him into our bodies. In the following directives, I have found no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers, and as a result, one person remains hungry, and another person gets drunk. And don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I want us to take this cup this morning, to take this bread and this cup. And while doing it, take hold of the promise that he's giving to us to become his people and he our God. Just go ahead with the juice. Just go ahead with that, if you will. Thank you. know this morning. Is there anyone here this morning who's felt just drawn a little closer to God? You felt like God and you have come closer together, that you've made this real in your life, this message, poorly given, but did you make it yours? That God is your best friend. So, Father, we give thanks today. Oh, Lord, how we ever give thanks today for your love and your goodness to us in this place. I ask you to bless, Lord, this church family. Bless us, Lord, individually as we go out into the world. May our light shine. And may that salt still have flavor in our lives to those who look on. Listen, friends, shake hands, be friendly, and love one another. And God bless you.